Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with another team of our whistleblowers who are bringing you the truth about the lies, deceptions, and all of the assaults on our way of life, your freedom, and your life. For such a time as this, we are here to bring you truth, hope, and solutions. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, for medical help, legal help, and all of the other resources. Join us in our Faith Over Fear seminars each Tuesday night via Zoom at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And now, here is your host for today.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Major Mike Gary, your host for today's Whistleblower Report, and this is going to be a legal slash military segment, because we're going to be covering very current events. I am recording this the evening of May 30th, 2024, and this is the day that Trump was found guilty for 34 counts in New York. And this is what we'll be talking about. But before I get into that, as always, I'll be covering some military topics that blend into this, uniquely blend into this, I'm going to say I'm not representing the military or the Department of Defense in any way. I'm a free man exercising my First Amendment right, and these are my opinions. My studied, researched opinions that I will be sharing today. And of course, the military, in its infinite wisdom, fired me from full-time service, and I only exist as a part-time Army Reserve soldier at the moment. So I am in my civilian status working for the Truth for Health Foundation, and I want to say thank you to all those donators out there. We appreciate the donations that you've given us. We've used that money as wisely as we can to pursue legal grants to support people that have false allegations against them. Kind of like the Trump New York case that we're going to be talking about tonight. So this is how your funds have been used. And again, we do need more donations to continue to operate in this way. We appreciate it. We thank you so much. But, you know, to pursue this fight, we got to have the money to do it. And we only run a small staff of people, so it's not being used up that way. It's being used for good, okay? And so we thank you for that. Now, I think it's unique that so many of us military people in the last 3 years, two, 3 years, since the COVID mandate crisis and all that type of stuff. Some of us, I guess I should say tens of thousands of us, the military is only recording like 8,000 number that were fired, but there's really tens of thousands of Army Guardsmen, Army National Guardsmen, the reserve forces in general, and then the active component that were affected by these illegal, unlawful mandates. And so we get to experience things that the civilian population doesn't understand. Okay. Like I said, unlawful orders were given. Okay. And in order for people like me to get fired, the system has to be totally corrupt. And I think the American people, civilians, as I'm going to say, are starting to getting an understanding of how corrupt it is, right? We had a good friend of the Truth for Health email us early today mentioning this case in New York City and, just commenting a lot of the thoughts about it, and which has led to this whistleblower report. So we thank you out there for your comments. I appreciate it. I'm not going to mention your name to protect your identity, but we thank you for that. And I'm going to try to cover this as best I can. They were very good notes, thorough notes, and hopefully I can make some connections here and give some further understanding on how this works, how this fraudulent system works, at least from my personal experiences. But I wanted to open with a story from the Gateway Pundit here that just came off hot off the press, just like within the last hour and a half. It says New York jury reaches verdict on Trump's New York lawfare trial. Guilty, all 34 counts. Each count could result in 4 years in prison. Judge Merchan tells jurors he admires your dedication and hard work. And so the thing is how do they get 34 counts? Well, I've been listening to a lot of people talk and give analysis here in the last couple hours. So it's about the payments. So this was the so-called hush money case with Stormy Daniels, the porn star. And so every time a payment was logged and a check taken out, there's like three or four different actions with that payment, okay? Whether it was logged in and then the check cut and then paid out, you get three or four per every month that this money was paid from the fraudulent lawyer there that was Trump lawyers, Cohen, as he's named, was given to Stormy Daniels to keep her quiet, which there's a full memo out there where she says nothing ever happened. I mean, it's right there. Did the jurors actually get to see that? I'm not sure. I have no idea. I haven't been watching this case that close, but she has admitted in affidavit several times that there was no sexual contact, no relationship. So it seems like this was overlooked. And however, the payments are leading to these 34 counts. And like I said, each month one of these was like paid out. There's three or four different actions per the log in the payment and paying it out. And that's how they get up to this ridiculous number of like 34. Okay. And I think what really happened in front of the American people is we've learned how corrupt the system is. So I'm going to read on in this Gateway Pundit but article by Jim Ha. And it says the New York City jury reached a verdict in Alvin Bragg, another great character there. That's a person of high integrity, Alvin Bragg, in Judge Juan Merchan's lawfare case against President Donald Trump late on Thursday afternoon. Contributor Paul Ingrassa is attending the ongoing show trial for the Gateway Pundit. Ingrassa, who has been live reporting from inside the Merchan Kangaroo Court for several days now, has observed firsthand the blatant disregard for due process and fair trial standards. Despite the prosecution's failure to clearly define the alleged criminal act committed by President Trump, the court appears poised to find him guilty at all costs, send him to prison, irrespective of evidence or lack thereof. The verdict will be announced after 5 p.m. And of course, this is when it came out. And I'm looking through here. In a shocking twist that defies the principles of Americans' jurisprudence, Judge Merchan instructed the jurors that they do not need to reach a unanimous decision on the specific unlawful means that Trump is accused of in this case. They just have to sense that he is guilty. Sense. It's almost like using the force here. This goes against all common law in US history. Okay, so that's the moment that we are in. I'm flipping through my pages here. And it says instead, the jury was given the liberty to select from three main options, effectively turning the process into a choose your own adventure game of legal implications. That's kind of a great way of putting it. Number one, violations of federal election law, which no one in that courtroom is familiar with, and the judge specifically prevents Brad Smith from testifying about. Number two, the falsification of business records, and number three, the tax violations. So I think between those two is where you get the four. You know, if you make a check and you make it over several months, you have to log it, and then supposedly maybe no tax is paid on it. So you get like four, one, a marking of a payment. You get four different crimes out of it. The logging, the cutting of the check, and then whatever else is part of it. So President Trump is being tried by a jury in a city that voted 87% for Joe Biden. The jury members all admitted to reading the New York Times and watching MSNBC for their news. Oh, God help Trump, huh? Prayers for President Trump and his family. Okay. And then we got some tweets by Paul Ingrassa. As we wait for a jury to verdict, say a prayer for President Trump. May God bless President Trump. And then it says, Merchant to jurors, I really admire your dedication and hard work. You worked very hard and gave this matter the attention it deserves. And then Paul Ingrassa ends with this. He says, this is a tweet I'm reading. He says, Trump will win this on appeal. This trial has been a complete and total mockery of the rule of law, due process, the Constitution, and the criminal justice system. Absolutely disgraceful. I totally agree. But we've seen a lot of this going on, right? So Trump has been a part of it in four different courts now with I can't remember if it's 81 or 91 total crimes that he supposedly committed between all four different cases. But this has been going on greatly against the American people for the last 3 years, ever since this administration has come in. It's been doing nothing but targeting, purging the military, targeting pro-life people, targeting the Catholics, targeting, parents at, school board meetings, and so on and so on and so on, right? I think at this point, the Americans get it. The government has been weaponized against the American people. I don't think I need to beat that horse anymore. I think it's pretty obvious that's what's going on. And which is why I find it kind of hopeful. And I'm kind of, happy in a way that I don't need to explain this stuff anymore. There's a basic understanding. And now that we understand what's going on, we can move forward in truth and we can deal with this, you know. And I would look forward to the election as being one way we can deal with it. But there's other ways to deal with it, right? And some of us have been working really hard, whether it's, giving notices to your local, state, and federal authorities, putting them on notice of what they've done, or if it's FOIAing them, sending Freedom of Information Acts, and starting to tear apart the criminality that way, in many more ways to actually be a participant in this. So those are just some ways that I've been a part of. And certainly going to your local school board and challenging, the school if they're grooming your child into gender dysphoria, or if they're providing big pharma pills behind your back, the local school board is a good way to challenge that, like they're doing here in Maine. So those are some things to look into to be a participant in this. If you're angry, channel your anger because of what's happened today into something productive, okay? Like the school board, okay? Go practice your First Amendment and see what's going on in your school board, your town board, and other things like that. And do not go alone. At this point, it should be easy to find friends. Okay, I'm sorry to be chuckling about this, but I am happy. I know it's a sad day for the justice system, America, and Trump, and for all of us, but I have been lonely. This was done to me on the military side of the justice system, and I've been alone trying to explain myself for so long, but I don't feel the need to have to do that anymore. I think people get it. I don't have to fight so hard for myself and my family trying to explain what the hell went on. Do you know how angry or difficult it is to set and explain after the rescission of the mandate in the military? Do you know how hard it's been for me to say, no, I'm not back. I haven't been brought back. No, I'm not getting paid for my full-time position. No, they didn't bring me back. We're not friends again, right? The military isn't taking care of people. Do you know how many times I've had to explain that? So I think the American people are seeing with these Trump indictments that in these court cases that there's something gravely wrong, and it's all over the country. So now let's pick apart this court. This Judge Juan Merchan a little bit here. I've got another article from the Gateway Pundit, and it says it's written by Jim Hoft, and it says breaking Laura Luma exclusive. Judge Juan Merchan is allowing his daughter's clients to have unrestricted access into Trump's trial. Okay, and this came out just this morning. It says, Laura Loomer broke into the War Room broadcast on Thursday to discuss her latest breaking news regarding Judge Merchan and his activist daughter, who is raising money off of the ongoing Donald Trump trial. Laura Loomer revealed on Thursday that Marxist Judge Juan Merchan is allowing his daughter's clients access inside his lawfare trial against President Donald Trump. It appears we found the criminal in the case. He's the one in the robe. Paul Ingrassa reported on Judge Merchan's daughter, Lauren, back in April. There is the scandal involving Merchan's daughter. As brilliantly exposed by Laura Luma, Merchan's impartiality has been irreparably muddied by reports that his daughter, Lauren, serves as president of an organization called Authentic, which describes itself as a digital agency that partners with clients to build award-winning programs for progressive causes and campaigns. The organization proudly boasts Kamala Harris and Adam Schiff, who pushed the debunked Steele dossier claiming Russia meddling in the 2016 election, as two of its most valued clients. And of course, the whole Russiagate thing was the original usurping of the President Trump. This was the deep state operating against the president and not doing what it was supposed to be doing. Those are the people that need to be punished because they had an agenda and they acted on it. Other clients featured on the organization's website are the Biden and Harris campaign, Governor Gavin Newsom, Governor Kathy Hochul, and Rep. Ilhan Omar, among countless other far-left progressive Democrats. Okay. To occupy such a high leadership role in a group whose client is incredulously, excuse me for that. Sorry about that. I can't say that word right now. The Biden-Harris campaign is the paradigm. Excuse me, I lost my place here. It says, and not that further evidence to support a conflict would be needed. But Loomer's research also uncovered that per FEC public filings, Lauren donated thousands of dollars directly to Democrat politicians. On Thursday, Laura Loomer reported that Judge Merchan is allowing his daughter's clients to have unrestricted access inside the Trump trial. Okay. And then Judge Merchan's daughter, Lauren Merchan's clients from her Democrat political consultant firm, Authentic HQ, have been given seats inside. Okay, moving on. Says Judge Merchan is now allowing his daughter's clients to have unrestricted access. And his daughter, Lauren, Merchant is a Democrat political consultant. According to the Authentic Campaign's website, which Lauren Merchant is the president of, the anti-Trump Brennan Center for Justice is a client of Lauren Merchant. So Joyce Vance, Joyce, which is at Joyce White Vance, is a senior fellow at the Brennan Center for Justice at Brennan Center. And she has been inside the Trump trial, where she's been writing articles for the Brennan Center for Justice, which target and harass the members of the jury. Bingo. Okay. In this Trump trial. One day ago, excuse me, Joyce Vance wrote and published this article titled, "Can We Trust the Jury in Trump's Manhattan Trial?" And then the Brennan Center for Justice hired Lauren Merchant to manage their newsletter, which features articles from the Brennan Center for Justice website. Lauren Merchant's clients are now making money off the Lauren's father, and Lauren is profiting off of her clients having seats inside the Trump trial because per her own website, Lauren Merchant has increased the size of the Brennan Center's newsletter by 204%. Imagine that. Corruption right out in the open. I'm going to end that article right there because I'm getting a little long on this half, but need I say any more? The corruption has played out right in the open. Everybody knows that this was a shady trial. It was rigged, like Trump says. And I think Trump's words are becoming so obvious to people. I think what he says hits to home now. You know, everybody is understanding that Trump has been the truthful one all along, because everything they've tried to do against him has fallen apart. Just like this is, ultimately, I think this is going to strengthen Trump far greater than it's going to hurt his, you know, and the way I look at this is divinely, his popularity is getting more and more in the court of public opinion. Trump is getting stronger. They can't seem to do anything to take this man down. Even if they put him in prison, he's still going to become the president if there's an election. So Trump's immediate comments after this, after he's found guilty of the 34 counts, he says this: "This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt." President Trump said outside the courtroom, "This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here. And everyone knows what happened here," he said. And I agree. Everybody knows now. We all saw it in the open. We didn't do a thing wrong, he said. "I am a very innocent man." Yeah, I agree with that. And there's other very innocent men and women. And I remind everybody about the J6 prisoners who got caught up in something that they did not instigate and they didn't have the intention. And there's some real rabble-rousers that were hired, some federal informants and some role players that were paid that day that aren't sitting in prison. The ones that actually broke down the fences, not saying that some patriots or some innocent people started off innocent, got involved with it too. But largely the people that really broke down the fences in the bike racks on January 6th are not sitting in the J6 prison. It's patriots that are sitting in the prison, and they did not have fair trials. Likewise, there's many people in the military that did not get fair trials for the fake mandates, as I call it. All right, so when we come back after the break, I'm going to discuss a little more military stuff and how it relates to what's going on to this current case that we see with Donald Trump. We'll be back right after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended. The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
True Bio D3, available only at truthforhealthstore.com, contains vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, and convenient soft gels. Our vitamin D3 is the bioidentical form of vitamin D, synthesized in the body from cholesterol following activation by UV rays in sunlight. This form is excellent for maintaining healthy levels of vitamin D in the body. And mounting evidence suggests vitamin D not only plays an important role in maintaining bone health, but also in supporting immune, neurological, musculoskeletal, cellular, and cardiovascular health too. Get your bottle of True Bio D3 only at truthforhealthstore.com.
Welcome back. I'm Major Mike Gary, and this is the Whistleblower Report, and we are doing a legal/military segment here. And on the first half, we were discussing the current guilty verdict in the Trump trial in New York. He was found guilty for 34 counts, and we will see later on if he's actually convicted of any of these. He probably will be, so that they can use convicted felon down the road as their narrative, which is what we ultimately thinking they want out of this, is to use that label, convicted felon. I have a lot of Donald Trump's books, and I promise on this half I was going to get into the military and some of the things that have happened in the government. And I'm going to do that, but I have a lot of Donald Trump's books. I have The Art of the Deal, obviously. That's a great book. I felt like reading it, he was kind of guiding and inspiring in some of the things that he shared. But an interesting book is, I think it's his second book that he wrote. It's called Trump, Surviving at the Top. And it's a book that came out as a lot of things in his life were failing, okay? And there's this interesting piece. It's right in the early part of the book, and it's about Mike Tyson, okay? So if you remember, Donald Trump was friends with Don King, and he loved to go to the boxing matches. And it says here in this first chapter in the book called Trump, Surviving at the Top, it says this: usually I enjoy the spectacle of a major heavyweight fight, especially when it involves Iron Mike, a fighter I've come to know and respect. But Tyson had such an aura of invincibility at that point, February of 1990, that the outcome of the fight seemed like a foregone conclusion. I just wished it were over with. I'd already been in Japan for several days working on a few possible business deals. I signed a lot of autographs, and I'd been deeply impressed with Japanese passion for precision in everything they do. But now I wanted nothing more than to be back in New York. I wasn't the only one that thought the fight was a waste of time. The bookmakers were refusing to take bets on Tyson at any odds. The huge arena was only a one-third empty because the Japanese people, who are no fools, assumed this was going to be another one or two-round massacre. And even Mike himself seem to be looking beyond Buster Douglas. A couple of fights before, a couple of nights before the fight, I had heard him tell one of his business associates, a woman who had just wished him good luck against Douglas, "Don't worry, baby. I know how to take care of business." In retrospect, I realize I should have known when I saw Mike believing his own braggadocio that he was due for a fall. Okay. And I'm going to skip down here a little bit. And it says, he was certainly right about that. There was a brief moment in the eighth round when, you may recall, Mike rallied and knocked down Douglas. So up until this point, he's been beat pretty good by Douglas, and it was a surprise to Don King and Donald Trump. And he says, who seemed to be benefit from a long count, an impression that was confirmed by the videotape, but the tape also showed that Mike was getting his ass whipped for 10 solid rounds before he finally fell. In the end, that's all that mattered. Some people say Mike lost on purpose to set up big money rematch with Douglas. That's nonsense. What most people don't know, and what I myself found out only later, is that Mike was so sure of winning against Douglas that he did not even have an automatic rematch clause in his contract. So there, that blows that theory out. Besides, Mike would never do anything, especially give up his championship belt solely for money involved. And then the key question now, it really is, what happens to Mike Tyson from this point on? Okay. And then Trump compares himself to Mike Tyson. And he says, this is Donald Trump speaking, "It's not that I've suffered a knockout blow, far from it. But after a long winning streak, I'm being tested under pressure. I've also been in the public eye long enough so that the pendulum has swung, and many of the same media people who once put me on a pedestal now can't wait for me to fall. People like a hero, a golden boy, but many like a fallen hero even better. That was a fact of life long before I came along, and I can handle it. I know that whatever happens, I'm a survivor of success, which is a very rare thing indeed." I just wanted to share those words of wisdom out of that book, Trump Surviving at the Top, because in this book is where I realized this is where you get knocked down and you got to get back up. So I think that's incredibly good book to kind of dig into. The Art of the Deal is an awesome book, but this one talks about coming from a losing position. And I think it's really interesting. Now, I've been doing a lot of whistleblower reports for the Truth for Health Foundation on January 6th. And then recently about DARPA and Echo Health Alliance and stuff that the military was involved in. And I think civilians or American people in general are starting to get educated on what has happened inside the government, because it seems like all parts of the government are corrupted. And I think getting through this COVID period, right? So you had the COVID mandate frenzy for a couple of years, and then you had the vaccine. And then if you got the vaccine, some of these mandates could, the pressure of them could be relieved a little bit off you. But if you are unvaxxed and you were in the government, it was not. It was total tyranny, ostracism, total discrimination and, you know, and bias. And so that's what I've experienced. I've experienced that deeply. So it was more like a 3-year period for me, as opposed to maybe like a year and a half or 2 year for the general population. In that time, I've watched some very disturbing things, and it's been hard to tell people these disturbing things. That's why I have enjoyed revealing the DC National Guard whistleblowers and them speaking out against the Pentagon. And this is for the January 6th event. Because if the January 6th event was allowed to operate like a typical response happens, Okay, there's already plans in place. You don't need to make plans the day of the event. The plans are already in place, and the tactical teams just react to the plans they have. Okay. And the Capitol Police Chief Stevenson knew that he would probably request, he was told he couldn't request the DC National Guard, but in a private conversation on the weekend, him and General William Walker were able to have that discussion. Yeah, so Chief Sund and William Walker had a private conversation weekend before January 6th about being requested. They were friends. And Major General William Walker wanted everything to do, he wanted to do everything in his power to support Chief Stevenson. So, you know, that was meant to be. And what we find out is the Pentagon, probably General Milley, this needs to be investigated, but through the Secretary of the Army, made a memo days before January 6th, taking Major General William Walker's response ability away from him, his direct ability to respond to the Capitol or the Metropolitan Police. So he had to request the Secretary of the Army, Ryan McCarthy's permission to move or do anything on the day of January 6th. This is highly unusual. This was different than the whole summer of love that they experienced in Washington, D.C., where the D.C. National Guard supported the Metropolitan Police, the Park Police, Capitol Police, and wherever else they needed to be during those events that occurred, the Antifa groups that were attacking certain places in Washington, D.C., or causing trouble or causing riots or whatever. But that happened several times, and that's what these D.C. Army National Guard whistleblowers exposed, that there was highly unusual things that occurred or balls that were set in motion just before January 6th, so that it was a failure. Because as soon as the D.C. National Guard showed up at a little after 5 p.m. that day, everything was put back into order. Okay. And this was a thing that the Capitol Police knew, is when they needed to call upon their reserve force, which was the DC Army National Guard, that everything would be put into order, or the DC National Guard, because I think it's inclusive of the Air National Guard too. So they knew that everything would be fixed and put back into order. That could have happened between 2:30 and 3:30. As opposed to like 5. So there were almost 3 hours of discrepancy. So somebody had the intention to delay the DC National Guard, and that was the Pentagon. Okay. And when I've exposed this through the two whistleblower reports and the Faith Over Fear program seminar that we had, it was shocking to many civilians. Now they understand that there was intentionality to set the Patriots up that day. Because all that needed to occur was the DC Guard to show up, and perimeters would have been reestablished. Now, that makes it easier to explain, once people understand that the initial perimeters, the fences and the bike racks that were used as fences at certain places, were expertly ripped down, like they had been rehearsed by certain personnel to be ripped down very quickly and easily, so that the majority of the population would not see the sign of any fencing, and they would make their way as close as they could to the Capitol, because there's nothing telling them to stand back. So anyway, this would set up the Jan 6 prisoners, and of course, our FBI is continuing to track down anybody that was there that day, because they are proof, and they have proof of what went on. And that was a Fed surrection that went on that day. Okay. And it was a major setup. And so I've been happy to kind of expose that, you know, and I'm so glad that those whistleblowers from the DC Army National Guard came forward, especially to protect their commander, Major General William Walker, but also to set the record straight. Because the IG, the DOD, Department of Defense IG, Inspector General Office, had created a total falsified report on what happened that day. It was filled with total lies, and Colonel Earl Matthews set the record straight and produced his own report rebutting the whole IG report. So the thing is, everybody looks to these Inspector General reports to be bastions of truth, but they're not. It was a total cover-up. And that's what's going on inside of our government. I've experienced this myself when I submitted a whistleblower complaint up to the Army Inspector General Office. And the first investigator that was assigned to me, I opened the complaint against discrimination because they weren't promoting me. And the interesting thing in my case is I was put under an investigation because I wouldn't take the shot. They called me a domestic extremist. But at the same time I was put under investigation, my packet for promotion went forward. And I had like a pristine, perfect record, right? I was ahead of my peers. So these things started at the same time for me. So the investigation against me was a corrupt investigation. It was only because I wouldn't get the shot and they called me a conspiracy theorist, which was also to them a domestic extremist. They're trying to lump all the people that believe a certain way into this MAGA crowd, which to them equals white supremacists. See, the military had put forth a bunch of classes on white supremacists. Now, the key for them was they were just trying to find a way to label the unvaxxed or anybody that had a problem against Afghanistan, the pullout, the failed pullout where people died, and some of the other things that have occurred in the military. They were trying to find a way to label us and eventually make it so they could do whatever they wanted against us. And that's what happened in this, this fake investigation against me. So they eventually administratively fired me, and that's how I lost my job. And the reasons they had to drop everything except for I didn't get the vax, and to them that was a lawful order, even though I had well proven it wasn't. So that's eventually how they got rid of me, which is really why they brought it in the first place. They tried to use all these other faulty allegations to make it sound real bad. Excuse me. But in the end, they had to admit it was because I wasn't vaccinated. And I showed them that the law on that, you can't force an EUA product. So likewise, we're seeing this through the government as a whole. It's not just the military, but the problem with the military is where you're so based on orders going up and down and having trust with the chain of command, it's been totally corrupted. Now it's the most tyrannical thing, the military, because if you don't have people of integrity running it, it ends up like it is. You have record low enlistments because who the hell wants to join such an organization? So it's incredibly sad what's going on now in the military, but they essentially can weaponize their administrative actions and their UCMJ actions against people. And that happened to one of my good friends in the active component. He was one of the DMED, Defense Medical Epidemiological Database people. He brought that information forward, which was showing a ton of harm, lots of harm, exponential harm from these vaccines. And of course, like any whistleblower, he was persecuted. Okay. So the IG offices were not a place to submit any type of complaint. And just making sure. Oh, so I was eventually kicked out, but, fired for not getting the vax. But at the same time, my promotion packet was going forward. And this is where I was selected for promotion. And after I was kicked out, I was retained as a traditional National Guard soldier. And then I asked to be promoted because there was nothing stopping me. They gave me an honorable with some weird codes that nobody had ever seen before because they had to do some really shady stuff. And see, here's the thing. The administrative NCOs had never seen these codes before. It's all bizarre stuff. So everybody knew this was wrong and weird, and they knew I was a person of integrity. So it's really, so this is being repeated all through. This has already happened in the military. This is how the Great Purge occurred. I'm just telling you from my point of view. And then I quickly submitted an IG complaint based on discrimination that I couldn't get promoted. They wouldn't let me go into a slot to get the promotion. And still, I am not promoted to this day because of this. I had to transfer out of the Army National Guard into the Army Reserves in hopes to get promoted as a part-time soldier. Okay. So I opened my complaint that way, and then I turned it into a whistleblower retaliation because I had submitted VAERS. I started to learn that I had done protected communications, which is essentially giving VAERS data. Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System data. So anyway, the IG office was not a place. The original investigator for me tried. He did try to do the right thing as I showed him the laws, the Child Health Vaccine Act of 1986, and then VAERS came out of that as I started showing him this and things that were said and giving him affidavits and stuff like that from other people. He tried. But guess what? They replaced that investigator with a younger guy that was going to toe the line. So then it became a cover-up operation. Okay, so that's my specific instance with the IG office and working the Army chain of command as a whistleblower. It is a, you become persecuted. And likewise, we see this same thing with the DC Army National Guard whistleblowers that they went through all these processes. And then finally they got to give testimony in front of Congress, which is great. Awesome. The day will come for the whistleblowers that gave information based on this genetic therapy, this, which I'm calling a bioweapon. The vaccine is the ultimate bioweapon, just like the DARPA whistleblower, who was a, military Marine Lieutenant Colonel who came forward, a DARPA fellow, and he's the one who brought forth all the documents on Echo Health Alliance and what they were doing. So this is where DARPA rejected the proposal to do gain of function, right? So all these things will come in their time, and as we see across the world, the shots are being pulled off. The Japan is saying that this is causing turbo cancers, essentially. So this is eventually going to turn around on everybody that was in a position of authority. Now we have to prevent those in authority from getting out of it. Because if you were in a position of authority, you're going to be held accountable to forcing people to take something that wasn't right. Or making people comply with these mandates, which none of them were legal. And so anyway, I've experienced that with tens of thousands of military people. And inside, in the military is not the only side that experienced this. We had a whole bunch of FBI whistleblowers that came forward to say what the FBI was doing, the weaponization of the FBI against like, for example, parents at school boards, right? You had a bunch of whistleblowers come out for that. And guess what happened to them? They were persecuted, fired, lost all their benefits. Some of them went homeless. There's one special agent, Garrett O'Boyle, if I can remember correctly. I think he went homeless for a time. He has a young family. I mean, this is extremely sad what has happened inside the government. I just think now the American people have enough of an understanding to actually grab the concept that there is no going back with these people after you've been knifed in the back with them, by them, excuse me, because you don't trust them anymore. And that's what's happened inside the government agencies, and mine being the military, in which, you know, you always pride yourself in not leaving a fellow soldier behind, right? Well, that's not who we are anymore as a military. we're backstabbers, and we see that we will leave people behind in Afghanistan. We will leave people behind in Niger, right? There's a whole 1,000 troops left behind in Niger right now. Are we going to get them out? And this is a little unknown story, but it's happening. So essentially, we can't trust our government that we're going to be pulled out of a certain area across seas as a military personnel. And this is how it applies to all the government. If you're not going to toe the administration's line, you're going to be disposed of in some way. You're going to be booted out. And this is the sad reality we're in. And again, they use these administrative processes like the military's off. I was a 15-6 investigation. Some people had gone through UCMJ actions. That's an actual military court. I didn't experience that, but my administrative action was very similar. I had to produce rebuttal documents, legal documents, and I feel like I documented their unlawful actions in it because there's like a back and forth that goes on between the lawyers, and I did have representation too, military representation. But so I think the American people need to understand that there's a great number of people inside the military and other government agencies that tried to do something. But because the American people were so enthralled and wrapped up in COVID mandates and COVID hoops that, the government was purged. And so now it feels unstoppable. And that's why we're looking at something like this Trump trial. This trumped up Trump trial in New York, and he's found guilty of 34 counts, which are simple book accounting counts. So every time they made an accounting addition to the books, he was found with a count of guilty. All right. So this is ridiculous where we're at as a country, but I think now we're kind of all on the same page, or getting closer to the same page, which is the ground level truth. And we need to speak truth at this moment. We have to expose what's going on. We can't sit idly by and sit on the fence anymore, because this is affecting everybody. I'm starting to see that even the people who think they have money, they think they can weather the storm, it's not looking like that so much anymore, because Americans have debt. And if the financial system does come down, I don't think people can withstand that debt-wise. And so anyway, we're going to need to look to the future. And I think that's what's going on. Americans are looking to the future. The economy means something to them. They are tired of living paycheck to paycheck or being debt-laden. And they are looking to somebody that can actually turn this ship around. And I think we see it in the guy that was just charged with 34 counts in New York. So anyway, that's my commentation on what's gone on today. I thank you for listening to us and coming to the Truth for Health Foundation. I thank all the donators out there. Appreciate your donations. Again, we're getting a little light on them. We need some more funds to continue. But another way to donate to us is go to our store, where we have high-end nutraceuticals and supplements made by good manufacturing procedures. Unlike the shots and all the EUA products that we saw during the COVID period. Okay. So go to www.truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. Sign up for our email alerts. Check out all our resources that we provide, from medical advice to ministry help and constitutional right information. All right. So we've got a lot of stuff at the Truth for Health website. I really appreciate you checking that out. And I must say, I must put on a plug for the Faith Over Fear seminars that we have every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We'd really like you to be there. They are an educational plus. It's kind of like a safe group to be in. It's a group that thinks alike and wants to solve the problems that we are faced with right now. So I would check out our Faith Over Fear seminars. I thank you. This is Major Mike Gary signing out.
Thank you for joining us today on the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. We urge you to sign up for our email alerts, donate to support our legal defense work to secure the human and civil rights secured by law, and to live our lives in accordance with the U.S. Constitution and God's truth. We are here to bring you hope and solutions for such a time as this, with all that is assaulting our way of life. Join us and stand strong against the lies and deception, and speak out, get loud, get involved. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.